When I sit down, I get nervous.
I know, right?
Okay, everybody, we're going to call the May Personnel Committee meeting to order. We're going to go ahead and hop right into our new business. The first item on our agenda is the ADP time recording discussion. Administrator Higgins, you have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I've got a little bit of background that I need to tell you guys, a story to kind of get us where we are up to date. So as we came into office, Judge Dodson and I came into office, there was already in progress a plan to look at a potential timekeeping program for county employees, primarily in the sheriff's office, which is where the biggest need was identified that they need one. So they were working with a firm called Time Clock Plus that was recommended at the time by FI. So FI, if you guys will recall, is the financial accounting software that we use countywide for all our stuff. And so anything that we use that has to do with numbers has to be able to interface with FI. So as I came in, one of the first questions that our county attorney asked us was, hey, you know anything about time clocks? And so Andy, some of you guys that know this from my history, I started my career with Simplex Time Recorder Company, and I used to install time clocks, and so I'm familiar with payroll systems, and I said, sure, this shouldn't be that much of a task to pick this up and let's run with it. So I reached out through Time Clock Plus, introduced myself as the new contact. We started working together relatively soon, working on some plans so that I could be spun up on where we were with all this. And then it got kind of weird in that Time Clock Plus kind of ghosted me a little bit and wouldn't return my calls. And finally I called and the gentleman that I had with my contact wasn't there. And they referred me to another guy who was in India. And so Margaret and I reached out to FI to ask them if they knew what was going on. They indicated they were having some issues with Time Clock Plus as well. So the president of FI did some research and found out the company had been sold offshore. And so there was a lot of signs on that. So like, hang on. So we stopped on that. So one of the reasons why you guys haven't heard anything about this is that for 7 or 8 or 9 months, we were really working with FI to figure out what happened with Time Clock Plus. And once we did determine what had happened, we backed off and terminated our relationship with them. So we met with FI to find out what plan B might be, and so there's a few months in that. And in the meantime, FI had an arrangement with ADP, Workforce Manager. So we together did some research to look at their product to see what they had. Kind of had to start over a little bit. They came and did a presentation to us via Zoom. We've had a number of meetings, and in the meantime, they have provided us with a kind of a program that we feel like would fit Faulkner County's needs. That brings you up to date, and so the ADP workforce, so I'm going to go through, this is an abbreviated version, there's a little more information there, but I want to provide you guys some information of why we're wanting to go with this. So currently, all of our employees, county employees, fill out a timesheet on a weekly basis, actually a daily basis, but it's turned in every 2 weeks. And so we're here and we're in the 21st century and we're using a write-in timesheet. People, you know, you're kind of using the honor system with your timesheets. The company, the corporate company that I work for, we hadn't done that in 20 years. We kind of moved on to various newer programs to be able to keep up time. We have over 300 employees. It's hard to do that on the honor system. So if you look at this, I'll kind of go through this and get to the point. It talks about improved payroll accuracy is one of the reasons to go this route. Control labor costs so that we can manage our labor costs to make sure that, you know, we want to pay our county employees when they work. We don't want to pay them when they don't work. But for every single minute that they work, we want to pay them. We don't want to cheat any county employee out of a single minute of the time that they work. But it works both ways. We don't want to pay for time that they're not working. We want to simplify compliance. Payroll is a big deal in Faulkner County. Payroll is a big deal in any place that has over 300 employees. But Margaret and her team spend a lot of time in payroll. I will say this, that Margaret and Angie and I have been the primary contacts with these companies trying to determine if they're a good fit for us. And they also boost productivity. So you talk about productivity. I can't tell you how much time I spend just for the employees that report to me on timesheets on a weekly basis. All of our supervisors and managers across the county are spending a lot of time dealing with timesheets. And then you have some complicated timesheets, especially the sheriff's office. That's where our biggest complications are. Then we also have a completely different work schedule at the road department with those employees out there. So trying for the managers and supervisors just to keep up with this is a significant amount of time on their plate. We're going over to page 3. Why now? And I'm just going through these pretty quick, the key points. So we have a modern workforce. It's multi-generational. You know, workers have more than one employer in many cases. Job growth, creating more opportunities for skilled hourly workers. Opportunity to track voluntary and flexible work schedules. I mean, that's the advantage of having some type of an automated payroll system. We also have complex legislative and regulatory compliance that ADP, the company that's proposing this, would help us with. They're the experts on this, so they would keep up with that. Again, there's many times I go over to Margaret and start talking to her about timesheets. Fortunately, we have an expert. Her and her team are pretty sharp on it, but they have to stay on top of it all the time. So it's a great deal of work for them. Advanced technology and resources have the ability to clock in. For various employees, not everybody will have a time clock. We have certain employees that will have time clocks where they would key in their employee number or a number that they have, and then there would be a biometric. What we're typically looking at, and it started with Time Clock Plus, and ADP says they can do it, it would be a thumbprint. So they key in their number and a thumbprint. That keeps Andy from being able to clock in for me, even if he knew my employee number, because his thumbprint, mine would be different. There are more levels of sophistication. You can have biometrics where you have hand readers, even retina readers. All of that costs money. Really, the thumb reader is the most accurate and is the least expensive. The technology on these is actually not that bad these days. I can remember when I was working on these 20 years ago, they were very expensive. Any type of biometric reader were thousands of dollars. Now they're more in the neighborhood of hundreds of dollars. We'll go on to page 4. So the organizational impact, we want to be able to control our labor costs, boost productivity, enhance our employee engagement and experience for them not to have to deal with all the timesheets as well. And let me mention also, when you're talking about that, can you imagine the people that have to read these timesheets with 300 different sets of handwritings, and people have different skill sets and writings, and I've looked at some of the timesheets and I have to go back, I can't tell, is that a 3 or an 8? And it makes a difference when you're trying to pay these people. Simplify compliance, mitigate risk, and improve our payroll accuracy. So let me talk about the ROI on this. A big part of exaggerated hours and buddy punching for just timesheets is about 2.2% of gross payroll average. That's typically what we lose, is about 2.2% of our payroll. Overtime can be reduced up to 21% with increased visibility and proactive scheduling. 30% lower rate in payroll errors with integration. Without automation, the average employee takes home 10 hours of unearned PTO in a year's time. Each manager saves about 40 minutes per week in time and attendance, and then 40 to 80% of time in savings in the payroll process. The next page, it's kind of a picture and the recommendations and everything. If you'll look at the let's go and go to the next one. There you go. If you look in the gray shaded out area, this is the page that you guys will want me to get to anyway. I just had to do the dance to get there. This is how much does all this cost and what's the impact to us. The projected annual investment for 371 employees is a little over $47,000. So a one-time implementation of $12,000, but they do have a promotion going on that they're working with us that if we did the promotion at this point in time, they would actually give us an $11,752 credit. So, I mean, basically the implementation would be $250, which is a pretty significant savings. Let's go ahead and go to the very next page, pricing ROI. This is the one that I'm going to get to you. Here's the return on investment for us. Gross annual payroll, 372 employees. We anticipate at 2.2% of time theft, and that's a very conservative number, would save us about $327,000. So a $47,000 investment would potentially save us $327,000 and some change in soft costs in our payroll. Plus, when you look at the overtime, they estimate that, again, on average, if we save just 10% on our overtime costs, that's an additional $55,500. So you add that up, it's almost $380,000 in a return on investment for a $47,000 payroll system. Last page. Let's see. This just talks about the process of going forward. This is more for us, for Margaret and I, about what the phase would be. It's about a 7-month implementation. So it's not something that happens quick. It's a very detailed. We have talked with them and said we would like to start with Sheriff's Department primarily in the detention areas first. Bring a certain number of employees online, work out all of the bugs with payroll. That will be the longest part. That will take several months of working with our staff to do that. When they have the first department online and it's working, then we will start spreading out, and the rest of the departments across the county would be relatively seamless, a little bit quicker because they would be easier. The answer to a question you may be thinking of, are we going to do this countywide? And the answer is yes. This is something that we do want to put with all of our employees in the entire county. So I went through that pretty quick. I know you guys have a full menu tonight, but I wanted to hit the overview, see if I have any questions, and then I'll kind of wrap it up.
Okay. Thank you, Administrator Higgins. One thing I did ask, there's no ordinance with us tonight, no funding ordinance. We just wanted to open it up and bring it to the court. I think there's a lot of benefits to what I've heard and what we've seen and just some of the discussions we've had. I'll open it up to the committee. Do we have any questions for Administrator Higgins?
So the money part, I appreciate you bringing that up, Mr. Chair. It's a little, well, it's not complicated, but it's kind of a neat way they set up. They will not charge us until it is implemented. So the $47,000 is not implemented. I actually think, in talking with Margaret, I think that we could probably put this on next year's budget. We could go ahead and implement this. I mentioned earlier it's going to take 6 or 7 months. We're in month 5 of the year. If it's going to take 6 or 7 months, we're into December before we would actually implement this. At that time is when we would owe them money. Here's the sticky part that I'm in. I need to provide a commitment to ADP if we want to go forward. The easy way to do this is to say, hey, can you guys appropriate the money for this? And I probably won't spend it this year. But that would be the commitment. I kind of backed off from that after talking with the judge from doing that. I want to ask for $47,000 appropriation out of general fund that we're probably not going to use when we could put in the budget. Probably what I need is a resolution from the court saying, yes, we agree that we would fund this next year. Again, you guys know what a resolution is. That's basically a promise or a commitment from you guys to do that without actually appropriating any money. So without me asking for any money, I would need a commitment. Otherwise, I probably don't need to go forward with this. The sooner we do it, the sooner we'll be in the place. But I will need to be able to go back to the company and say I do have some form of a commitment from the Quorum Court.
Thank you. Any questions?
Which budget or office would this run through?
As far as cost or as far as operations?
Operations.
most likely it will run through Margaret's office, through the county clerk. She will be working closely with the department heads of the various departments, primarily Angie at the sheriff's office, because they're going to be our largest employee count, our biggest challenge.
That was going to be my next question is, will there be any kind of consultation or feedback with the departments to see if it meets their needs or, you know, just if they have any questions about it?
I've had lots of questions. So I've talked to most, I can't think of any that I haven't talked to. Within the county circles, we've been talking pretty freely about it. We had an elected officials meeting today. We talked about it in that meeting. This is something that, again, initially they were working on before we even took office, and then we did our change. So it's not something new. They know that it's been down the pipe. It's just we're getting close to it. So, yeah, there's been some questions from some of the managers and supervisors about how would this be implemented. I'll tell you, I implemented this at Johnson Controls with over 700 employees, and there were some hiccups, and there were some challenges, but in the end, when it was implemented, the supervisors and the managers, employees, you know, came in line and said something new, something different, but the manager loved it because they're not spending nearly as much time going through handwritten timesheets and having to track them down. The employees that won't be using the specific time clocks, there's an application on their cell phone. They can clock in with an app or an app on their PC on their desktop. So there's different ways to actually log into the system. The neat thing about it is instead of a supervisor looking at their timesheets at the end of 2 weeks, they can look at them in real time on a daily basis. Again, my previous experience when I was doing this, and I had 40 or 50 employees, I would go in there, you know, I knew I had some employees that were challenged, and I would look at theirs almost daily and just I'm making sure they're clocking in, making sure they're clocking out and helping them with that. So that's the advantage of not having to wait and drop everything on payroll day. I would say that most managers, supervisors, if they're not spending half a day, they're spending a big part of their morning on payroll day doing it. Takes all that away from them.
Anything else, Justice Pearson? Anybody else?
I was kind of thinking about the road department and what you just said. They can clock in on their cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're working in the south end of county, they wouldn't have to drive all the way back to Greenbrier and clock out to go back to Mayflower.
That's exactly right. That's the benefit of this. Exactly. Saves productivity time on both the employee and on us, the employer.
Makes sense. Thanks.
Justice Ellis?
Yeah, I just want to say, before this, I think it's crazy that we're in 2024 and we're still doing handwritten timesheets.
Any of our JPs in the audience have any questions? Okay.
So I guess my ask would be, if this is something that you'd like to forward over to the Budget and Finance Committee, afterwards, I'll talk to Justice Lehowski. I'll probably ask them to support a resolution for next week to say to a commitment. I'll give you guys a week to think on this, and we can talk about it further next week.
Okay. I'm good with
that. Yeah.
I'm good with this conversation moving forward. I think a resolution's, I've got no issues with that, and I think this would be advantageous for the county to continue to move forward on.
I support that as well.
Okay.
All right.
I think everybody's good with it.
All right. That's all I have then.
Awesome.
I appreciate it, gentlemen.
Thank you, Administrator. Okay. Next up on our agenda, we'll get into the ordinances. We've got proposed ordinance 24-21. It's an appropriation ordinance for the public defender. Can I have a motion to put 24-21 on the table for discussion? Do I have a second?
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Okay, I'll open it up. Mr. Plemons, if you'd like to speak to this ordinance.
Sir, thank you. I'm Lynn Plemons. I'm the chief public defender. All probably know what the public defender's office does. If any of you have any questions, ask me, or I'll hang around. Anybody that wants to talk to me one-on-one, I'll be happy to do that. We handle all of the indigent individuals who are accused of crimes in Faulkner County, Van Buren, and Searcy County. The lion's share of our workload is Faulkner County. It's the biggest county. It has the highest number of case filings, has the highest population. We also handle juvenile court, we handle district court, we handle adult protective services cases and petitions for involuntary admission. We are required to represent the respondents in those cases, even though it's not, those are not criminal cases. In criminal court in Faulkner County, 50% of the criminal caseload is assigned to second division. I have one full-time public defender assigned to that division. I have a full-time public defender who is assigned to spend half of her time, essentially, in that division. And then I have three part-time public defenders assigned to second division as well. In third division, approximately 30% of the new case filings are assigned to third division. I have two full-time public defenders, each of whom were assigned to spend half of their time essentially in third division. And I have a part-time public defender assigned in third division as well. In fifth division, Judge Foster, I have two part-time public defenders assigned to work in that division, primarily in Faulkner County, one of them exclusively in Faulkner County. And when I say part-time, public defender, most public defender jobs are a job share scenario in which the commission is divided one full-time position into two 20-hour-a-week positions. So that's what we have to work with. We have two divisions of district court. We have a 20-hour-a-week part-time public defender assigned to Division 2. We have no one currently assigned to Division 1, Judge Carnahan's division. During the time that we have had two divisions of district court, we have had a rotating scenario in that division. Initially, we had assistance from the Public Defenders Commission to staff that court. The Public Defender Commission has a fund from which they can hire private attorneys to handle conflict cases around the state. And for several years, the executive directors of the Public Defender Commission allowed us to use some of that money to hire a part-time defender to cover one division of district court. That regrettably ended back in 2001. At that time, I was able to assign one of our part-time public defenders down to district court to handle that division as well. That lasted until approximately October of 22, when the caseload in circuit court required me to move that individual up to circuit court. At that time, we had the availability to hire someone in an extra help position that the legislature funded with $4.5 million. Extra help positions were available across the state. We got one of them. Some other counties got more than that. We got one. That person was assigned to Judge Carnahan's court as well. She was there from October of 22 until April, the end of April of this year. In late April of this year, we had a little bit of a crisis. One of my part-time public defenders who lived in Maumelle actually had some sort of a breakdown and was terminated by the commission, leaving a big gaping hole in coverage in Second Division Circuit Court. I transferred Ms. Rogers, the extra help position person, over to Second Division to take on that case, where she has a current caseload of 65 cases, active cases. Let me rephrase that. We don't count cases, we count clients. Some defendants have multiple cases. Even if they have four or five active cases, we count that as one client. So Ms. Rogers was transferred over to take over that caseload. And at the same time, we learned that the extra help money is running out and all of those positions are being terminated. So we are losing a part-time public defender. So I am here before you today asking the county to fund a full-time public defender position for me. My intention is to place that person in Judge Carnahan's court and also to be available to have handle conflicts in the other division of district court and occasional conflict perhaps the circuit court, hopefully not. You may have been hearing about a federal lawsuit up in Benton County, Arkansas. I saw in the paper, well, last week it was certified as a class action. A couple of people up in Benton County have sued Benton County for not providing them a public defender at their first appearance. This has been a sore subject with me and also with Judge Carnahan for some time now. And I would like to be able to staff first appearances, all first appearances in the county with a public defender. I haven't been able to do that. I would like to be able to do that. And I would like to be able to do that before a federal judge holds a gun to my head and tells me we have to. So that's the circumstances underlying my request. With the proposed ordinance, I've included some salary examples. The first one is my lowest paid full-time public defender. Her salary is approximately $69,000. That is the same amount that I'm asking for in the ordinance. I've also included just a page from the budget showing the salary of Judge Weaver's law clerk, who is a lawyer. I've included a page from the prosecutor's budget showing the deputy prosecutor who's on the county budget. I believe his salary is $68,000. I believe Judge Weaver's law clerk is a little over $65,000. And just to round it out, I've included the income, the salaries for my two lowest paid part-time public defenders. Those are 20-hour-a-week individuals. One of them, if you extrapolated it out to a full-time position, would be around $70,000 a year, and the other one would be about $73,000, $74,000 a year. So I would like to be able to staff all of my courts adequately and fully. Right now I can't do that. I don't really see any help coming from the legislature in this regard. I was hopeful. I know that my executive director was asking for refunding of the positions that are expiring, but the fiscal session has ended without any action in that regard. So I see no help coming from the legislature. So here we are. I'm asking for you. I didn't ask for this until it became critical. So do you have any questions for me?
Thank you, Mr. Clemens. Margaret, did we happen to get the copy of those salaries out to the JPs? I know it was sent an email to you and I, but I don't know.
It was sent. Dropbox and shared out Dropbox, but I did not do that until today.
Okay. So that is out there, but those were sent, and that data is out there and available. Okay.
If you'd like, I can go back through. I have copies of them. A copy of them and can give you the exact amounts, that would be helpful.
Could you just pass your copy around here to the committee real quick while we...
Absolutely.
That might suffice. Thank you, sir. Okay, I'll go ahead and open it up to the committee. Do we have any questions for Mr. Clemens? Go ahead, Justice String.
I'm just curious, is this a position you're planning to promote someone from within, or are you going to hire from outside? And the reason I'm asking is that if you hire from within, I assume you're going to be hiring somebody else at an incoming level.
This is a new position. the lawyers I already have working are busy. They're full. So this is a new position. I'll be advertising and hiring someone new.
Thank you.
Thank you, Justice.
There's one other thing I forgot to mention. I am not necessarily seeking to hire someone at $69,000. The attorney who is making that salary is very qualified, very talented, and has quite a bit of experience now. I'll probably seek to hire someone, if they lack experience, at a lower rate, but I would like to have that. If someone very qualified came along, I'd like to be able to offer them a higher salary.
Sure thing. Thank you. Justice Pearson?
$47,000 of this is from County General. Where is the funds come from?
Looking at the ordinance, because that's just a prorated amount of what would be needed for this year.
Okay,
that makes sense. Okay.
Sorry about that.
No, that makes sense. I asked myself the same question on the ordinance the first time. Yeah. Those salaries in the packet, for two people, I'll name them here, but Public Defender 1, Public Defender 2 were like $37,000, $34,000. Was that part-time?
Yes, those are two part-time state public defenders.
Committee have anything else? While they're thinking and looking at the documentation, I'll open it up. Do the JPs in the audience have any questions for Mr. Plemons? Anybody else in the audience? Judge Carnahan, do you have anything you'd like to speak to the committee on? I know you're not asking for this position, but it does impact your court, so go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Justice, and members of the committee. Yeah, it affects me and the fact that my job is to be a judge, not to be somebody's lawyer. And in order to give somebody decent representation, the commission needs to be able to staff those indigent defendants we have at a proper level. It's difficult to have a fair fight, a fair playing field, if people who need those services aren't receiving advice, the counsel. I've seen the first appearance stuff that we put out there for the families. My biggest thing is I need to be the referee. I don't need to be the person saying, hey, quit talking about how you shot that guy in the head before you wind up getting into court. That's a problem for first appearances. What's also a problem, if we're not properly staffed, is we're going to have to back up what we do to make sure we have a time that's available when we can get a public defender there to have these cases adjudicated in a proper manner. Which means for the innocent people, they're going to be sitting out there waiting with this hanging over their head unjustly because they can't get their attorney to have time to come in or can't get an attorney in time to get this, which is going to lengthen the number of cases we have on our docket. The other thing it's going to do is for those who are guilty, it delays the punishment and the rehabilitation that comes with a guilty finding in my court. So what does that do? Well, if you've got a drug or alcohol problem, especially for impaired drivers and stuff like that, getting them in and getting them put into services, we try to do it at first appearance. You know, if you're charged with DWI, I thought, hey, you need to come talk to us. It's not going to wind up hurting your case, but having an adjudication that takes place in a timely manner that's close to when the infraction was committed, that's vital. I'm not saying my defendants are children, but y'all all have children. And you know, if you punish somebody for something that happened 2 weeks ago, that is not effective. They feel like you're picking on them. And we can't do anything that quickly, but having a finality of judgment that's a whole lot closer to when the offense happened, when the behaviors that caused that are going on are maybe still be manifesting themselves, that's vital. The other thing it's going to do, if we're having to delay these cases, is there's a financial impact for those who are guilty and that are ordered to pay a fine. And we're not going to be able to collect those because the cases haven't been adjudicated. So I'm not here to be a revenue stream for the county or for the cities. But finding people is a way to ensure compliance short of putting them in jail. And at this point, we're just about down to where that's about all I've got left, it seems. So that's going to delay that. It's going to slow things down. Y'all got a lot of things y'all got to consider. I'm probably going to be coming to another committee of your body soon asking for some money for a car. But this is something that it goes to the fundamental nature of who we are as Americans. The right to counsel is our most important right I think we've got that pertains to the legal system. And having to have someone and give advice and consent and get the information that they need to give them that advice and do it in a timely and proper fashion, it's very important. So, and ultimately, Mr. Clemens is going to make me the one who suffers for the, it's just the way the staffing goes. But so, am I interested? Yes. I want to be the referee. I don't want to be somebody's attorney. I want to make sure that behaviors that are bad get addressed quickly. Not having a public defender that's assigned to the division is going to hurt that. It's going to keep people who have a right to have their name cleared from having the proper day in court. So for all those reasons, there's probably two or three others that I can't think of, I'd ask that you really give this careful consideration. Does anyone have any questions about that?
Thank you, Judge. Is anybody on the committee?
Yes, Judge. It sounds like to me you're saying, sorry, I don't understand the court, ins and outs of the court system, but it sounds like you're saying with another public defender position, we could speed up the process and reduce the backlog in the courts. Am I hearing that correctly?
Well, I don't want to leave you with an impression that we have some kind of backlog. We worked through COVID, yes. We don't have the backlog some of the other courts. So,
I think it's typical to the court systems around the nation. I mean, maybe not backlog, but maybe that's an inappropriate term, but it would speed up the process and achieve justice more quickly.
At least it will keep us on pace of where we've been with Ms. Rogers over there as the public defender's been assigned to my commission, to my division. And yeah, otherwise it's going to back it up. Okay. It's going to slow it down.
So is it preventing backlog then?
Well, maybe. This is not something, this is a problem we all have. And just to shock you, you've got good familiarity with this, trying to get not just public defenders to show up if I'm left without an assignment, but then we also have the problem of coordinating officers' availability and all those kinds of things, witness availability. And yeah, I can say you're going to be here on this date and be a till of the hun to everybody. It's not going to work out too well for our cases if we don't have at least some flexibility for vacation and stuff. So it just adds another element of complexity to all this.
Ultimately, what I was trying to get to with my questions was, would this reduce frustrations for victims, crime victims, at some point, somehow, the more efficient, or I don't want to imply that the court's not efficient, that's all I'm trying to do, but could it help with victim frustrations?
That's probably a better question that's left to prosecutors than me, but I know having been a victim of crime, like we've probably all been at some point, getting to a point where you have some finality, and either getting restitution started your way, or that person is not going to be available on the streets for a little while because their harassment or something has gotten to a point that they need to be incarcerated. To me, that gives a little bit of peace for the community. Most of what my division does, me and Judge Paulson, we split. We have everything equal, except he handles the domestic type cases. I handle all the driving while intoxicated cases. Doesn't mean we don't see each other's cases at the same time. So, unless there's an accident that involved DWI or the harassment case, theft of property, it's horrible. I don't know why people try to steal from Walmart with a million cameras staring at you, but they do. Not to say Walmart's not a victim, but it's not usually the victim the type of victim that you're thinking of. Johnny got his bicycle stolen from the front porch, and Tommy's the one that did it. You know, that's not the case. But I think there is some people don't understand the preservation of rights that has to take place that lawyers do, And so that slows things down tremendously. Right. It would speed up, in theory, the ability of somebody to get some justice.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
Anybody else have anything for Mr. Clemens or Judge Carnahan?
If I may.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Judge Carnahan. I'd like to add two things based on what Judge Carnahan said. One is, there were some judicial districts in this state that shut down for 2 years. We did, our judges held court every day that the courthouse was open. And we don't have that huge office back. We never had that big backlog that Lassen County, Washington County, Benton County, some other counties did. Our judges worked, and we worked. The other thing is, and I just want to make sure this is clear, the Carnahan doesn't just do first appearances for cases assigned to his court. He also does first appearances for incarcerated individuals who have circuit court cases. So all those cases go through the district court on their way to circuit court.
Thank you. Any of our JPs in the audience have any questions? Anybody else? Okay. I will take a motion to forward proposed ordinance 24-21 to budget and finance.
So moved. Second.
Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it. It's forwarded to budget and finance. Thank you, Mr. Clemens. The next ordinance on the agenda is ordinance 24-22. That's appropriation for Circuit Court, Second Division. I'll take a motion to put 24-22 on the table.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Judge Braswell, you got the floor.
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to be back in front of you. I do have two matters in this ordinance that I wanted to address with this committee. The first, under Section 1, is a request for an increase of approximately $3,800, $3,856, to be paid to the position of Chief of Staff. As some of you may remember, I get to be the one circuit judge that has 15 employees. And so that when you're talking about the time cards and the logging in, right, I'm like, oh, yeah, I've got a lot of those that that we handle. My chief of staff is the person that makes sure that we get that done and that's done appropriately. Ms. Leanna Brown has a long experience with the juvenile court system. When I first took the bench, a position of chief of staff did not really exist. I won't go back through all of the changes, Justice Pearson, that we've made in juvenile court, but one of the things that I really felt like we needed was somebody who was in charge of all the other employees that I had in my office, making sure that they're, you know, at work on time, making sure that they have the resources that they need to be successful. And making sure that any new programs or juvenile court systems that we implement, that I have somebody that I can go to say, you know, I need you to kind of be my boots on the ground and make sure that we can get that done. You heard Mr. Clemens indicate, not only do I preside over the juvenile court cases in our area, I also have 50% of the adult criminal cases. When I'm on the bench until, you know, sometimes 6:45 on a Monday night, juvenile court doesn't stop. Right, my staff is meeting with kids and families, and you know, making sure that they're getting their risk assessments done, making sure that they're receiving the programs and services that we're trying to put in place. And so, it really helps me to have Ms. Leanna Brown in that position to be able to monitor and manage those things. What is specific about Ms. Brown in this position is, I can tell you that I wouldn't be able to be as successful as a court without Ms. Brown in this position. She did not ask me to ask for this raise, but I know there was a position down in Little Rock that came open recently, and the first person across the state that they went after was Ms. Brown. And I want to make sure that I do a good job in fighting for my people so that they don't get poached, right? I can go on and on about the responsibilities that she has. She goes to trainings across the state to train new probation officers. And we've discussed before, when people get hired across the state, one of the first places they come is to Faulkner County. They want to see what we're doing in juvenile court, how we implement these programs, and Ms. Brown is kind of the face of that. Quite honestly, I can't be two places at one time. If I could figure that out, I'd probably do it. But when I'm unable to be at a meeting or be somewhere, she certainly takes that spot. I know she's been in front of you several times addressing certain needs that we have going forward. I certainly will answer any questions. I did provide a salary comparison from the other counties that are, I guess, within our category, if I'm saying that the correct way. And so I think this would put her maybe in the top three in the state in terms of her salary, certainly considering that we have the best juvenile court in the state. I think that's an appropriate place for her to be. So be happy to answer any questions about that.
Judge, if you would, why don't you go ahead and go through Section 2 and 3, all the increases, yep. And then we'll take questions on
absolutely
any of them after that.
Sure, no problem.
Thank you.
Section 2, I've had, just to kind of go back from day one, when I agreed to volunteer and take over as a juvenile court judge, one of the things that I told my other judges is, I'm going to need an extra position. I believe Judge Murphy had this spot. It's kind of divided between two circuit judges. And so, honestly, me saying, hey, look, I'll take this on, but I need some help. They agreed to move that position. It was not technically a law clerk. I've asked that be renamed, I don't know, 6 years ago, just to be consistent and to be transparent with what that position is. That salary, I think my first law clerk, I'm embarrassed to say this out loud, I think it was like $29,000, $30,000. And so through the years, I've been able to come to this court and ask for small increases over the last 10 years, honestly, to try to give a reasonable salary offer to someone that has graduated law school. I've had law clerks that are recent graduates of law school. I have law clerks that have been licensed attorneys. Typically what I do is rotate law clerks every 2 to 3 years. It kind of depends on how things are going. If I have a law clerk that's doing a great job, I don't want to just kick them out, say, well, your 2 years is up, you got to go. But we have continual conversations, say, look, law clerk is not the end-all be-all for you. I want to see you go and spread your wings and be a lawyer and do something that you see fit. And of course, we have former law clerks that are in great jobs and in great positions. And so right now, my current law clerk makes less than the assistants for other circuit court judges. For instance, Judge Foster and Judge Clausen, I believe they make over $50,000 for that spot. And so last year, this committee, then the budget committee and the full quorum court, approved for Judge Weaver's law clerk to be paid $65,032. And so, just full transparency, I have an obligation to fight for my position that's in the same exact position and to come in and ask for that same increase. So that's the reason that I'm here on that issue. And I believe that Section 3 would just be the prorated amount, but in the starter.
Right, okay. Thank you, Judge.
Thank you.
Does the committee have any questions for Judge Braswell? Go ahead, Justice Allison.
Yes, Judge, I don't mean to attack you or take him this way.
No.
The questions that I'm going to ask this for all these witnesses. I looked at the budgets from 2021 to the most recent budget and the appropriations for all of these positions that we're asking for raises today, and looked at the percent increases over that time.
Yes, sir.
And just trying to flesh that out.
Yes, sir.
We've given a lot of raises over the last couple of years.
Yes, sir.
And maybe the last 3 or 4 years, and at some point we're going to have to put the brakes on that. And so I don't want you to think that I'm targeting you. And on the 2021 appropriation for this position, and I just want to ask if there's explanations for the 1108, the Section 2, the law clerk position.
Yeah.
The 2021 appropriation was $31,492. Woefully inadequate, I agree. The most recent appropriation in this last budget was $44,096. That's an increase of 40%, though.
Yes, sir.
And so if we bring that to what you're asking for now, over the 2021 appropriation, that's a
106.5% increase.
Yes, sir.
There's a lot of these that I'm going to talk about tonight. So, like I said,
yes, absolutely.
In that time period, when I look at the CPI index, we're looking at a 20% increase in the CPI. So that's my concern with this. Is I'm afraid we're jumping way farther than one day
sure.
we're going to be able to reach.
Yes, sir. Jess Allison, that's great points. One thing I wanted to mention, this is not specific to the law clerk position, but all of my probation officers, part of the reason that we've been able to come back for increases is because the state reimburses the county up to $20,000, but no more than 50% of the salary for those positions. So that $20,000 reimbursement does apply to the chief of staff position. And Justice Allison, the reason that we went from 31, to 44 was because I was having a difficult time being able to compete in the current market for people that have graduated law school and either already received their attorney's license or in the process of obtaining that. And so trying to, find individuals. My current, law clerk is married and just had his second child within, 24 months. I made sure that he knew how that actually happens, right? And so he's obviously got a lot of pressure on him. And in full disclosure, Justice Allison, the reason that I'm asking for this is because the Quorum Court funded the same position at that price. And I have an obligation to come back to this committee and say, if you did it for a law clerk for Judge Weaver, then it only seems appropriate that you would provide the same support for my law clerk. And that's the reason for the ask. I shared all the increases. I'm with you. I totally agree. I absolutely agree. And it is not it's not super easy for me to come in here and ask for money.
Yes, sir.
It really isn't. And I will tell you the only reason that I'm here is because of the precedent that this set.
And I appreciate that. And I remember having that discussion. I just don't remember the details of that discussion
yes,
after this time.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
The other position you're asking about, the chief of staff, I was just going to run the numbers out there too. In 2021, that was $51,532.62. The most recent appropriation was $66,144. That was an increase of 28.4%. Bring it to the 70,000, we'll bring it to 35.8%. I just want to throw that out there for the committee and let them.
Yeah, I'm glad, thankful to have a quorum court and a personnel committee that pays attention to those things, because it's easy to get buried into one position and say, we support this, and then you look up big picture and say, what mess have we gotten ourselves into? I know that part of that percentage increase is certainly some COLA, I think, that was able to be done, and some raises that were the quorum court did, I believe, for countywide. I may have gotten mistaken, but I've got so many different budgets and salaries at positions. But when I have as many employees as I do, as compared to the other circuit judges, all the things that we're doing, when I look at it, it's like, look, here's what's going on across the state. I want to make sure that I have my person taken care of, so that we can continue to fulfill the obligations that we have. So I appreciate you bringing that up, and I think those are great points.
And I appreciate you bringing this, and I appreciate you standing up for your people.
Sure, absolutely.
If I vote against it, it's nothing against you, it's nothing against your people. It's just the numbers.
Well, Justice Allison, I won my first election by 84 votes, so I'm used to people voting against me.
Thank you, sir.
Didn't have an opponent the second time.
Any other committee members have any questions for Judge Braswell?
Just a quick clarification. Says sponsored by Budget and Finance on the proposed ordinance. I'm assuming this hasn't already been to the committee, or has it?
No, it has not.
Okay.
This is the first committee it's been in. So
gotcha. But they put that together, the ordinance, I take it, and then send it over to this committee. I just
some of them I'll try to get personnel and budget put on there, and I just
right.
get it on all.
Oh no! I was just wanting to know if it had already been to their committee or not, because this committee's job is really not to determine if the money's available or not, or whether or not we should be spending that amount of money. It's really to determine if it's appropriate to set scales at those levels. And I think Judge Braswell makes a good point for both of these positions why they should be set to these scales, and I'm inclined to support the ordinance.
Okay. That's the best experience. Any other committee members have anything? Any of our JPs in the audience have anything? Go ahead, Mr. Turner.
Didn't y'all give yourself a raise in the raise process last year, JPs?
I will speak to that, that I did vote against that raise.
Just saying that that was part of the, you know, pretty big chunk out of the budget, I'm sure. I don't know what the total was.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Anybody else have anything? Okay.
I'll have to respond to Mr. Turner.
Go ahead, Administrator Higgins.
My trouble.
The raise that the JPs did get last year was the first raise they've received in 20 years.
Not too bad. Now, again, I voted against the budget because of that raise in the budget.
Noted again, Justice Allison. Okay. I will take a motion to forward Ordinance 24-22 to Budget and Finance.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those against say nay.
Nay.
The ayes have it. Forward to Budget and Finance.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Judge. Okay, next item on our agenda is proposed Ordinance 24-23. It's an appropriation ordinance for the prosecuting attorney's office. Take a motion to put 24-23 on the table.
Make a motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion and a second.
Thank you.
Go ahead, prosecutor.
Good afternoon. Good to see everybody. Thank you all for letting me address you tonight. I have a couple of requests, and they are some positions that I've identified, and I have a pretty big staff too, and I've identified and have also been victim to the poaching from Little Rock. And I say that, the reason it's so important is that once we have some, I have a group of really talented employees that I'm sure everyone does, but that have been with the county for a really long time. And so most of these have been with the prosecutor's office long before I was the elected prosecutor. Most of them were hired by my predecessor 2 prosecutors ago. And a lot of them even came from other offices, whether we poached them from other prosecutors' offices or courts. So but my point in saying that is that's why they're targeted by different organizations and agencies, particularly in Little Rock, because they can go down there and make a lot more money with the institutional knowledge that they have. And when I lose someone like that, like I did last year, it really puts us in a bind as far as hiring somebody that doesn't have that kind of experience, doesn't have that kind of institutional knowledge, and really start from the bottom. So I just identified a couple of people in my office that fit that criteria who also, I think, are paid below sort of their counterparts in other agencies here in the county, particularly the trial court assistants who this court raised 2 of the circuit judges' trial assistants to that 55, well, but now it's now 55-120 because of the COLAs. And so those are people that we work with every day and doing a lot of similar job responsibilities and are making, you know, a fair amount less. And so it is important for us to, I also want to say too, I know on behalf of all my county employees, we are very, and they are all very grateful for what the court has done as far as the COLAs, especially the last 2 years. Particularly in this economy, that has been a big help. And I think they also feel like, maybe for the first time in a while, the Coral Court's paying attention to that and is appreciating it. And so I do want to express thanks for those and for the raises that were given before. And so I put a lot of thought into this, and like I said, I've just targeted a couple of positions. I'm not coming in here asking for something for everybody, although I certainly could make the case that they deserve it too, but I know you all have a difficult job. And to Justice Allison's point, you can't give everybody a raise every time, or certainly the budget wouldn't work out. And so being mindful of that, I have a couple of raises that I can address individually if I need to, as well as we have been operating with a part-time receptionist the entire time that I've been the elected prosecutor. We also, receptionist is probably not a fair word because she has a whole lot of other really important job responsibilities in addition to fielding the public, which is certainly one of my top priorities, as I believe I maintain one of the most transparent prosecutor's offices and accessible prosecutor's offices. And so I have a natural break where I have a person leaving to go to law school in that position. And it's a difficult spot for us to have several hours throughout the day. If you call between 2 and 4, or 2 and 4:30 or 5, I might very well answer the phone or come to the door, and it really is all hands on deck at that point. We used to pay for that position out of some fees that have really dried up, so I'm just asking that to be bumped up to, I think, about what the, whether there's a similar receptionist spot the county judge's office makes. Of course, that does include a benefits package, which makes that cost more, I understand. But that would really give us someone to be there all the time that we're open. You know, we don't close down at lunch. We certainly know a lot of people have business they need to conduct or talk to the prosecutor's office over lunch. And so making sure there's always an attorney there, it's usually me, but or one of the deputies, and then certainly to have a staff person there. A lot of people will come at lunch to file mental commitments, to file a citizen's complaint for a misdemeanor case for district court, pay a hot check, all sorts of things like that. So it's a busy place, and honestly, probably should have asked for this before about a receptionist, but I do want to be sparing in my request. Just as Kendra, is there anything specifically that I can go through line by line, or just open it up for a question?
I think you've hit most of them, Ms. Cruz. I'll go ahead and open up the committee for any questions they have, Ms. Cruz.
Again, I just want to no tax, no personal tax, no anything like that. I'm going to do this with every single one of these ordinances tonight.
Totally understand.
Just going to throw the numbers out there for everybody to see that the 1108 position has increased since 2021 by 24.5%. This ask would bump that to 50%. The 1109, 27.1%. This would bump it to 53.15%. The 1110 position has increased by 23.8%. This would bump it to 34%. The 1114 position has bumped by 35%. This would bump that to 43.8%. And the 1116 position is up 21.5% since 2021. And this would bump that to 31.2%. And I have absolutely nothing against you having a full-time receptionist.
Thank you, Justice Allison. Any other questions for the prosecutor from the committee?
I think so. I think so. Thank you. Yeah, and so again, these are all. I have some newer people. These are all. I've got some state employees. My attorneys are state employees, except for the one county, and then I've got 14 county, and then some grant positions. About 18 employees there. If these were state positions, I'm talking about people who would be on the upper side of the range based on their experience level. And so, and I did that trying to be mindful of not to come in here and say, my people are great, which they are. They need a raise, which they do, in this economy particularly, just to identify a couple of those. The trial court assistants and my asks are not arbitrary. That amount is the amount that the trial assistant makes in third division and fifth division, which this body passed. I believe Ms. Darter has some people at that position in the assessor's office as well. And so, again, the employees keep up with this, right? They know who makes more than them that's doing the same thing. And I know when Justice Shock was a sheriff, he heard this a lot too. It is a morale issue for us. And I'm sure all the other electeds would say all the same thing. And we're in a uniquely difficult position, I think it's fair to say, in that they can drive down to Little Rock and make that much more money. So looking forward for my office and having people who are case coordinator right here, position 1110. So if your family member is murdered, this is the person who's preparing the case file, right? This is who's working on all of that and working in very quick turnaround time restraints to make sure things are filed correctly and things are put together. So just kind of the gravity of what we do and the seriousness of what we do, it is a constant struggle to keep people that honestly just they can go somewhere else and make more and take all of their knowledge with them. And so that's why I'm here, and I know it's a tough request, tough ask, but I appreciate y'all listening and considering it.
Thank you. Any JPs in the audience have a question? Anybody else? Okay. Thank you, Ms. Cruz, for the explanation on this.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Did we receive the salary or surveys for these?
I sent you a Dropbox, mm-hmm. And type with all of these in your Dropbox. You can probably screen it up on your phone.
Yeah.
And view them, but I sent that to you today.
Okay. Okay. Did you submit those salary surveys for each of these positions?
So we're not in the salary survey, and I know this came up when the raises were addressed last time.
Mm-hmm.
I have mentioned several that are in similar situated positions in the county. My office administrator, I did just make some phone calls to try to figure out in our class counties what do their office administrators make, because like I said, they're not compiled in a salary survey.
Right.
And I included it in my letter that came along with this, that the range that I found in those, and there's one or two that I didn't get information from, but there's a range from about 63 to 81, and so this is not the highest request, but at the towards the top, and then a list of kind of her job responsibilities, which in some ways is much like the chief of staff, I guess, for Judge Broswell's office, but in addition to the grant employees and bank accounts and legislative audit issues that we have to deal with.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Justice Pearson. Okay. I will take a motion to send proposal ordinance 24-23 to Budget and Finance. Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those against say nay.
Aye.
I'll vote aye to break the tie. We'll forward this to Budget and Finance. Thank you, Ms. Cruz. Okay, our next agenda item up is 24-23. Proposed ordinance 24-24. It's an appropriation for the circuit clerk. I'll take a motion to send 24-24 right here on the table for discussion.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Go ahead, Missy. Thank you, man.
Okay, this is the raise that I came and asked for back in October, and I was asked to wait until May after the COLA went through and the budget was gone through, and so this is for my real estate manager, and I have actually put all of her job duties on the back page. If you're wanting, can you hear me now?
Okay.
Okay. And so her job duties are all on the back page. She is actually, so Becca is my chief deputy, and Diana is in charge when Becca's not there. You know, you can't have two chief deputies, so she's in charge when either of us are not there. And I would like to say this is not county general money, it's recorder's cost fund.
Okay. Thank you for the information. Does the committee have any questions for Ms. Eason regarding this position?
Ms. Eason, I'm going to say again, no personal attacks, just throwing the numbers out there so everybody can see that this position has increased since 2021 by 14.6%, less than the 20% CPI, but this would bring it to 33% increase since then. And if I vote against it, again, I'm not anything personal against you or your employees.
Thank you, Justice Ellis. Yes. Any other committee members have any questions?
Just quickly to clarify, it looks like this falls in right at pretty much the average between the most comparable counties to Faulkner, being Sebastian, Craig, Evans, Saline. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So this is quite on par with industry standard and seems like a reasonable rate to be proposed.
It is, and she makes the same amount as some of my regular deputies,
right.
So I feel like she needs to be brought up.
And as you mentioned, this is not out of county general. This is a dedicated fund that can only be spent on your office expenditures,
right.
Correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Thank you, Justice Pearson. Any other committee members have any questions? Any JPs in the audience? Anybody else? Okay. I will take a motion to send proposed ordinance 24-24 to Budget and Finance.
So moved.
I have a second.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those against say nay.
Aye.
The ayes have it. This is going to Budget and Finance.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Easton.
Thank you.
Okay, and our last ordinance on our agenda is proposed ordinance 24-25 and its appropriation ordinance from the county clerk's office. I'll take a motion to put 24-25 on the table for discussion.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Ms. Berger, you got the floor. Thank you.
Okay, I had two employees that behind the mic, I'm generally pretty loud.
We can hear you, but you better get behind the mic.
I'm generally pretty loud on my own. I have two employees that I'm trying to split the difference. They're on the lower end of what's being paid out of my office. We have taken on doing passports, and these two employees, one of them is running payroll and going to step in and be the payroll clerk within a year, probably 18 months. The other one is voter registration, and she backs up every position that I have in that office. She backs up, every position but payroll. She backs up accounts payable, voter registration, elections, everything I have. I can count on her when I go to her to get the job done. I've done the salary survey in line with the top three counties. When you factor in White County and Garden County and Jefferson County, then it brings that class down to being much lower. But if you factor those out, and you have Sebastian County, Saline County, Connecticut County, and the counties that are more our size, then this is in line of what those two girls would be paid in those counties. I don't have all of their positions descriptions on here, their job duties. I apologize for that. Sorry, I lost my train of thought here. One position is being paid half of it out of the county clerk cost fund. And, you know, I asked for raises in the past because of the passports that we brought in. And because of the raises that I got, I pay more of my office expenses out of the cost fund, because I am bringing in more money to cover that because of passports. Passports, I'm running up to 25 passports a day, any given day, and add that to the marriage license. The girls up front, they're having to stop what they're doing to go to a passport, and they're doing it with a friendly face. So they're being sent to us from basically all over the state to come to our office to get a passport. So I just wanted to put these two girls in line of the positions that they are actually holding at this time.
Okay.
Any questions?
Thank you, Ms. Darner. Does the committee have any questions? Go ahead, Justice.
Same remarks, preface as all the others before. These positions both are about 27.5% above what they were in 2021. This would bring them to 44.3% and 42.9% respectively increase over that in the time when the CPI has increased by 20%.
Thank you, Justice Ellison. Any other committee members have anything? Go ahead, Justice Stern.
I guess I do share the concern that I thought we were cutting the raises in last year's budget pretty close. And
this is also one that I had brought. Y'all asked us to hold and come back in May while y'all made a determination on the COLA raises. So these are...
I'm just saying that we haven't done the budget yet, and it just makes me a little nervous that we're going to be pushing the limits, you know. So don't take it personal if I vote against it. But.
Okay. Thank you, Justice Stern. Any other committee members have anything? JP's in the audience. Any other audience members? Okay. Thank you, Ms. Darner. I'll take a motion to send 24-25 to Budget and Finance.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those against say nay.
Nay.
I will say aye, and we'll send it to Budget and Finance. Thank you. Okay, that is everything I have got on the agenda. I just want to say I appreciate everybody's patience working through these. It's a lot to consider for the court and this committee. Thank you for getting all the data together. And I guess just a statement in general about raises, it's always challenging. I feel like the court's done a good job of trying to keep up with raises, give COLAs so we've got money, and I think we've done a good job of that, trying to get these one-offs taken care of. And like Justice Allison said, I just want to reiterate that, and this is something that we always talk about when we talk about personnel. None of this stuff is personal. Any of the votes, it's discussion. It's all transparent. And it's just one of those things, we try to consider the position and not necessarily the person, because that's what we're looking at. People can change those things. So I appreciate everybody working through this and doing a great job. Do we have any announcements from the committee? Okay. Take a motion to adjourn. Okay. We're adjourned. Thank you, everybody.